mark on your calendar December 18th. That's our prophetic class in December, and we're going to do the Christmas card exchange again. And we'll celebrate the holiday during that class time as well. I want to, just before Pastor Lorraine comes, I just want to go back, because I think that we left off almost toward the end of chapter 6. I believe we left off with some major truths and ministries being restored, maybe on page 35 of your handbook. And I just want to quickly go over those before she goes in, because this is going to fall right into her teaching today. We're on page 35. So at the bottom, it says, major truths and ministries being restored through the prophetic movement. And some of the things that are being restored in this hour are the prophets are being restored. Say with me, they're being restored. And a company of prophets are rising up. And that would be you and me. We're part of that, a prophetic people, and that we're crossing over the Jordan. The Joshua generation is arising, and that's you and me in this hour, right? The prophetic movement is so important. And I just want to just say real quick that everything that we've been studying at River of Life Church this past year, everything that we've been studying this past several Wednesday nights here in this house, going back through the First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, and learning the prophetic movement is so important to our gift and our call of the prophetic ministry that we have today. So in order to really function in the prophetic ministry, you have to know some things about how the prophets did it and how those of old did it. And so we don't want to be just like them, but we want a greater anointing than what they had. Amen. So sometimes it's important to go back into history and to learn from them so that we can be more mature in the things of God today. Say with me, amen. Yeah. So we need to have, sometimes we need to go back and we need to talk about some of these things. Like another thing that I believe that the Lord is really restoring in the church today is warfare praise. We got a little taste of that when we were singing about the little itty bitty devil this morning. So teaching and training and activating the church into aggressive warfare praise as a means for Christ to destroy the enemies of his church. And David knew the importance of praise. So praise will chase the devil out. So when you're a praising church, the devil doesn't like to stay. Also, God is raising up apostles and prophetic teams. And we see that in this house. Every second and fourth Sunday, we have prophetic teams. And I would someday like to see prophetic teams where we can move many times together, maybe in a congregational setting. Would be awesome to have that happen. And then we're sending prophets to the nations. How many has gotten a word that they're going to go to the nations? Anybody received a prophetic word? So God is raising us up to go to the nations. And when we talk about the prophetic ministry, we want to be able to talk about the full scope of that ministry. We want to be able to talk about the Joshua generation. We want to be able to talk about Ezekiel. We want to be able to talk about the weeping prophet Jeremiah. We want to be able to talk about these things and have a revelation of what happened during those times. Amen. And so I believe also that God is bringing us back to a real sense of holiness, a real sense of purification. I believe that he's bringing that back into the house. Pastor Festus brought us a powerful word, and I stood corrected with his word that he gave on loving, walking in agape love. So I believe that's coming back. We're beginning to see that type of thing come back into the church. And then proclaiming the apostles is coming back too. So for a long time, people didn't want to recognize prophets and apostles, but that's changing. The atmosphere is changing, and we're seeing today the nobodies turning out to be somebodies. Say with me, the nobodies are turning out to be somebodies. And we see a lot of minor prophets and major prophets rising up in this hour. And they're speaking powerful prophetic words to the nations. They're speaking powerful prophetic words to their cities, to their communities. And so we too are going to begin to do that as well. Amen. So before I have Pastor Lorraine come, I want us to do an activation. You want to do one? It's going to be real easy breezy. So we're going to just count 1, 2, okay? So we're going to start with Pastor Lorraine. She's number 1. And then we're going to come to Matthew. He's number 2. And we're going to come back to Sue. 1, 2. And then we're going to come here. Lisa, 2. Debbie, One. And then back over here. One. Two. You're two. One. Two. Back over here. One. And then next row. And then the next row. One. Price. One. Two. Next row. Two. One. Two. Back in the back. Wesley. One. Veronica. Nate. One. And I'm two. Okay. So I want all the ones to stand. So if you're number one, you've got to stand. Okay. So number ones, you're going to go to someone that's sitting down. That's number two. You're going to go to number one sitting down. So get with a partner. Come out of your seats. And get a partner. Somebody that's sitting down. Go to someone sitting down. Okay. So somebody sitting down. Okay. Got to find somebody sitting down. Yeah. And number ones, you got to remain standing. Okay. Number ones remain standing. Number twos are sitting down. Okay. Now. Okay. Does everybody got a partner? Veronica needs a partner. I'm coming. I'll be Veronica's partner. Okay. So what you're going to do, look at your partner. Tell them you're beautiful today or you're good looking today. Okay. Now we are going to give them a word of encouragement. So I want you just to wait on the Lord for just a moment. And I want you to be specific. I want you to ask Holy Spirit what area in their life they need encouragement in. And that's the area that I want you to speak to them about. Okay? Can we do this? Do you want to pray in the Spirit first or can we do it? Okay. Oh, we'll pray in the Spirit. Okay. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for giving us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, God, for the spirit of prophecy, Lord, in this house right now, Father. I thank you, God, for eyes to see exactly the area of encouragement that they need. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. This activation will take 5 minutes. Thank you, Lord.
You got somebody praying with you?
Yeah, he wants to get his Bible.
Okay. I see praying with somebody. Are you praying with somebody? Yes. You're not praying with somebody?
Everybody's praying.
All right. And what number are you?
One.
Okay. And what number are you?
Two.
Two. Okay. So, I don't want him to. Well, you can prophesy over if you want. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I just came to get.
What a beautiful presence of the Lord. Yeah, wasn't that beautiful? Yeah, yeah. Were you encouraged? Were you encouraged giving it? Yes, because we get the encouragement too, right? So we give out and then it comes right back at us. Amen. Yeah, that was beautiful. All right, come on, Pastor Lorraine.
Love you too. Oh, you know what? I need my book. I do it my book. Hold on. I left my book. Well, I count it a privilege to stand before you today to teach this prophetic class. And I'll just say again, I always feel like I'm out of my league here, and I get so nervous when I do this, so I'm just exposing the devil, because, you know, God gives me the strength and the ability. This is a good lesson. It's a good chapter in this book, and one of the things I realized as I was preparing is this book was written about 21 years ago, and how relevant it is today, you know, and to the times that we're in. And so some of the material in terms of the stats and, you know, like at the end, I'm going to share something with you. I mean, it's dated, but it's relevant to the time we're in right now. Amen. So we're in chapter 7, and Father, we just thank you that you'll help us by the Holy Spirit to glean what we're supposed to from this chapter in Dr. Hammond's book. Lord, we thank you for this great man of God who took the time to study and to prepare this in written form for us. And we just, you know, we can't appreciate that enough, just the written word. And bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing he says in this chapter is that there is a difference between a new restoration movement of the Holy Spirit and a revival or a renewal of truth. And it's really interesting because when you think about revivals, and we've been looking at revivals over the last several weeks and on Wednesday night, revivals tend to ebb and flow. You know, they come, they go, they leave residue, you know. And I believe that seeds were planted in prior revivals that are being birthed through us today. But he says, in order, and this is in your outline, in order for certain activity of the Holy Spirit to be called a restorational movement, it must contain certain elements and accomplish specific things in the body of Christ. Dr. Hammond identifies 7 major characteristics of a true restorational move of the Holy Spirit that separates it from revival or renewal of truth, which have already been restored in the last 500 years. And in his book, he lists them, and Pastor Kim said I was going to do 2, but I'm actually covering 3 today. They are, and you don't have to worry about writing these down because they're in your book. I'm just going to read all 7 of them, but we're only going to do the first 3 today, but they're all in your book. Divine enlightenment and revelation knowledge of truth, the occasional individual versus consistent company, new anointing and authority for establishing truth, a small beginning in an insignificant place, power to reproduce by teaching, training, activating, and maturing the saints, practice and publicized until contested or there's controversy. And the 7th is new songs, choruses, and other music portraying the restoration message. So So those seven steps have to be a part of what he calls a true restoration movement. So we're going to cover divine enlightenment today, the occasional individual versus consistent company, and the new anointing and authority for establishing truth. In your outline, it says, A, under divine enlightenment and revelation knowledge of truth. A truly Holy Spirit-inspired movement will bring, of course, revelation and enlightenment. That's the fill-in for those of you who have your book with you. But a truly Holy Spirit-inspired movement will bring revelation and enlightenment of certain scriptures that reveal truths, practices which were lost during the dark ages of the church, and which have not been properly understood and practiced. The example he uses is Martin Luther and the Protestant movement. The Protestant movement was the first major restorational movement. And go to the book. It says, the prophet that God used to bring this revelation knowledge was a young Catholic priest, talking about Martin Luther, who taught in a small, insignificant university and pastored a local church. The more the young prophet studied and taught scripture, the more frustrated he became with himself, with God, the church hierarchy, and the religious system of his day. He developed an insatiable desire to know God in such a way as to have divine peace and assurance in his heart. So it all started with that stirring. You know, he wasn't satisfied with himself. He wasn't satisfied with God. He wasn't satisfied with the church. It's sort of like, and I've heard Pastor Dave say this, I had that experience when I was seeking the Holy Spirit. It's like, Lord, there's got to be more. There's got to be something else. It says, Luther's life is a perfect portrayal of how the spirit of revelation can come to an individual to bring enlightenment on scriptures which have been dormant for centuries. And he had three particular scriptures that he focused on. And it's kind of, hold on.
My book won't stay open.
He had three particular scriptures that he focused on as he was trying to get a better, closer, more real relationship with the Lord. And the first one was Romans 1:17. He read this and it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So what does that mean? And then Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not works, lest any man should boast." During his time, it was still based a lot on works, you know? And then Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So it made Luther kind of begin to examine himself and question what he was being taught and to seek after real, you know, a more personal relationship with the Lord. And I believe that's something that, you know, we are all will continue. We're saved, but there's always more. I remember hearing someone say years ago, "I can have as much of God as I want, but I gotta want it. And I got to go after it." And he says, if you seek him, you'll find him. Amen. All right. All restoration movements start by God sovereignly giving a person supernatural experience, which causes him to understand scriptural truth. This is Luther's quote. He said, I greatly long to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the righteousness of God. Because I took it to mean that righteousness whereby God is righteous and deals righteously in punishing the unrighteous. Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby, through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies us by faith. Thereupon, I felt myself to be reborn. So he was really struggling with that. You know, I've shared with you when I've spoken before, you know, I was born again, but I never really understood that I truly was the righteousness of God in Christ. Until I came to River of Life and I began to get the light and the truth of that scripture. That's what he was pondering with. You know, it was being preached and he was in the church, he was a pastor, but it hadn't resonated in his heart. He said, the whole scripture took on new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it began to became to me expressively sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway to heaven. He got a divine revelation of what it really meant for him to be the righteousness of God in Christ. All right. We must also remember that Luther loved his denomination and wanted all his fellow members to receive the same experience. But this new birth truth caused great controversy. I mean, they judged him as a heretic and they kicked him out of the church because he got that truth. You know, he got a revelation of who he was in Christ. I remember when because the church where I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit was so different than the church I had been attending since I was a small child, that my parents thought that I was actually in a cult. And it caused controversy and separation. But I was in that little church one day because I was trying to decide if I was going to leave the denomination I was in and I was going to align myself with this new denomination. And the scripture that the Lord gave me is that, you know, I couldn't love my mother or my father or anything more than I loved him. And I said to the Lord, God, I don't know what this is going to cost me, but I believe this is where I'm supposed to be. I choose you. And I have to tell you, there were some weeks and months where it was kind of tense. I was still living at home. I was still under the umbrella of my parents. I loved them dearly. I wanted to respect them, but I also loved the Lord. And I had found a truth that I couldn't let go of. And God redeemed that. My parents eventually came to that church. My mother received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he just brought such restoration and love. And it was as if there was no division. So I know God can do that. Yeah. Okay, and B in the outline here. You cannot put new restoration truth and experience into an old denomination with their doctrines set in cement. I thought that was really interesting because we can have church doctrines and beliefs and the Holy Spirit's trying to bring new revelation and we go, no, we've never done it that way. You know, we don't understand it that way. It's because those doctrines are set in cement. And in Luke 5:37, it says, "And no man put a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish." New wine has to go into new bottles. Amen. This is a note, and those of you who have the text, it says that I think is real significant. In 500 years of church history and numerous restoration movements, there is no record of any major denominations who were established from a previous truth ever incorporating the next restoration truth and practices into its articles of faith and practice. So what that says to me is, okay, they may accept the truth. Okay, so we as a denomination, we have a statement of faith. We have something that, you know, we have articles which we believe and in which we stand on. And so what he's saying here is that, and most denominations do, but when a new truth comes in and it's a restorative movement, the articles of the church don't change. The people may accept the truth, but they don't change what they have out there to say, well, this is what we believe, this is what we go by. Those things don't change. And he's saying in 500 years of church history, there's never been a significant notice of when there is a restoration movement that the articles of the church change. That's interesting to me. But God, because in his grace and mercy, you know, there's a phrase I heard years ago too, that he brings us current in the Holy Spirit. So when there is a restoration move, and you'll see this, how it works later, but even if we don't change, he changes us. Our hearts change, you know? Yeah. And C says, when exposed to new truths, to new truth of a true restoration movement, everyone who becomes exposed to it will either, in the fill in there, they'll either participate or they'll persecute it. So, you know, we've heard it said that the worst enemy to the new move is the old move, you know. Remember, the denominational hierarchy declared Luther a heretic and his teaching a heresy. He broke away from the religious system rather than try to take it with him. So sometimes you just have to sever your ties, and that's what he did. D, every restorational movement will not only reactivate new truths, but will also, and the filling there is, bring enlightenment and application. So bring enlightenment and application. The example here of Luther had to do with prayer. And, you know, one of the things that he learned during this time and was taught, it says it was revealed to him that he didn't have to go through a priest to reach God. He didn't have to repeat memorized words while touching prayer beads or pray with a prayer book. He learned that a person could pray directly to God. That's what happened in that Protestant restorational movement. He learned that a person could pray directly to God in repentance prayer and receive forgiveness of sins and answer to prayers without a priest. So if that movement hadn't happened, where would we be now?
The third
been restored. Thank you, Debbie. She said, and if you, those of you who have the notebook, it the fill-ins for D are bring enlightenment, application, been restored. So we could still be doing Hail Marys and have our beads and going to the priest, and but God, through Luther, gave him revelation knowledge that we could go, we had direct access to God, and that we could pray, we could have our sins forgiven, we could be restored, and we could have our prayers answered. So now we're just going to talk a little bit about the prophetic movement as it relates to this restoration. The prophetic movement has brought and continues to bring revelation knowledge with regard to, and there are three areas that he talks about here. Let me go to... Okay, the first is a company of prophets is being raised to fulfill corporately Malachi 4 and 5 and Isaiah 43 through 5. And Malachi 4, 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Isaiah 43 and 5 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough edges plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So, I mean, that's very, I mean, that is so clear of what God is going to do to restore his church. You know, and it says it's going to be revealed because he's spoken it. Amen. So, it's the same way John the Baptist fulfilled them as an individual prophet. And we all know about John the Baptist. And in Matthew 11, 9 through 14, it says, "But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, John the Baptist, of whom it is written, Before I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye shall receive it, this Elijah was for to come. So as Pastor Kimberly alluded to, you know, that spirit of Elijah is moving in the earth today. I don't know about you, but I've never been aware, I guess that's the better way to say it, of so many prophetic voices. And these are people like unknowns. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Robin Bullock, I thought, interesting. You know, but then when I listened to him, it's like, wow, what revelation. That man is just so smart and knowledgeable. And I mean, things come out of his mouth that I would never even think about. I mean, you know, and I'm sure if we went around the room, each of you could name a person that has surfaced in our lifetime And these are not like prophetic voices of old, but these are current modern day prophets, you know? And so, as Pastor Kim has alluded, you know, this is the hour for the prophetic voice. And there was, you know, one of the things I wanted, I don't know if I can highlight this adequately, but like, there's something I wanted to, it's actually in the book, where, and when we, I can't remember, I think it was when I was teaching the class before, and remember we talked about we used to call them the foundation doctrines out of Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. But it says here, it is also true for the six major doctrines of Christ, four of which have been restored in experiential reality, and two which shall surely come into experiential reality during God's coming time of restoration. Okay, so we've seen repentance from dead works. We've seen faith toward God. We've seen the doctrine of baptism, you know, the water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've seen a move of laying on of hands, you know, so we know about that, but there are two more to come. And they are the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. They are still to come. And when we look at the prophetic movement, it tells us where we are in time. And remember we talked about this in the very beginning, that all of history, all of time is in God's plan, in his alignment. And when we look at that in relationship to the Bible, the prophetic, it all lines up. It tells us exactly where we are. Now, do we know the exact day and time? No. But we know that we're moving closer, right? We're closer than we've ever been to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise of a great gathering, you know, of souls. We know that we're closer than we've ever been. Okay, so the company of prophets is being raised up to corporately. There are Christian prophets in church today. You know, we've got them here at River of Life. We've got strong, powerful, prophetic voices. I am amazed whenever we meet and, Pastor Kim gives us activation exercises. And I can remember when I first came, I would put my head down. I would not even attempt to give anybody a word. How many? But I am amazed when I just bear witness of this group of people and how God honoring, you know, how, you know, it says that the prophecy is for comfort, exhortation. You know, and I can't remember the other one, edification. How powerful the words are that comes out of the mouths of the people in this church for others, and then when we do it, you know, in the house, and how accurate they are. And sometimes people speak right to the, I don't know, how can I say it, to the, I want to say the soul, but I don't know if that's where I want to say. But they speak to the heart of the issue. I've had words that were just like, wow, you know. And I've had people confirm that words I've given them, you just don't know. So we should be encouraged by that. And then the number three, prophets are teaching and demonstrating God's purpose for restoring prophets. So we have, this is part of teaching and demonstrating, you know, that God wants to restore the prophetic ministry and prophets. And then I think we're almost there. We have two more. The occasional individual versus the consistent company. A restoration movement will change a truth, scriptural experience, or ministry from being an occasional happening for a few, and the fill-ins there are, into a consistent practice of thousands. It's not enough room to write all those words. Who participate. So consistent practice of thousands who participate. It's number two, occasional individual versus consistent company. Yeah. All right. And the example given here in our book, are you guys with me? It's actually, it's page 39 in my book. Are you there? 39, okay. So it says here, the Pentecostal movement is the example used. It says, prior to the Pentecostal movement, an occasional individual had received the spiritual experience of speaking in other tongues. But when the movement of 1900 came, revelation came that it was the same experience as the 120 disciples had received on the day of Pentecost. And I want to just... So in his book, he says, when the restorational Pentecostal movement in the 1900s, however, revelation came that it was the same experience that the 120 of Jesus's disciples of Jesus received on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his promised Holy Spirit. Because Jesus had promised to baptize with the Holy Spirit, Pentecostals call this experience of speaking in other tongues the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because of Peter's proclamation that all who repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, some called it the gift of the Holy Ghost. So probably the majority of us here now are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And if we go in any other Pentecostal charismatic circles, people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're going to have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But before that Pentecostal movement, that was not true. So it opened the door. Amen. It says the one and the many principle. This principle was true during the Pentecostal movement, but it's also been true, shown to be true, in the prophetic movement. I've kind of already talked about that. But it says the Protestant movement brought the revelation that Martin Luther was a prophet. However, it wasn't until the 1940s that the revelation began to be established as God began to occasionally reveal prophets and apostles. It says, in the latter-day rain deliverance evangelist movement, some men were recognized as prophets, but the office of the prophet was still an occasional one. That's not true today. No. Now, there are people who name themselves prophets, but we have true prophets today. The prophetic movement has brought about a greater understanding and acceptance and recognition of the company of prophets God is raising up in the church. And like I said, again, this book was published in, 21 years ago. So a lot has changed. All right. So we go on to, this is the last one I'm doing. It's called The New Anointing and Authority for Establishing Truth. Okay. So A, the greatest anointing is upon, and the fill-in there is, and again, you may have to write small, those presenting the truth, because they are willing to pay the price and go outside the camp of status quo Christianity. I think about, some of the prophetic voices that are out there, they definitely pay a cost. I mean, I've even heard of some of them being threatened, you know? But I was thinking about, and he doesn't claim to be a prophet, but a week or so ago, leadership here went to a pastor's meeting, and the lieutenant governor was there. And he was talking, and then all of a sudden, he put the mic down, and he walked around the podium, and he says, "If there are any news people here today, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you." And I thought, wow. And I think that's what the modern day prophets are saying. We're not afraid of you. For greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm going to obey him no matter what the cost. You know, they're willing to lay down their lives because they know that God has called them. B, those leading the movement receive more of the spirit of revelation. That's the fill in there. In the knowledge of Christ and his timely purposes. So God is revealing to them what his purpose is for this season, for this time. They also have new wisdom. That's the next fill-in. And authority. They have to have wisdom. They have to have authority. They have to have an authoritative voice. It says it's granted to establish restoration truths and ministry. Because, you know, if we look at, and I'm probably not as knowledgeable about this as I could be, but if you look at some of the statistics that have been done on the church, I had an old bishop, and he used to say, the church has been dumbed down and hollowed out because we don't stand up for what we believe, you know? But with the help of the prophetic voice, it says we gain wisdom, we gain authority, and we don't cower, you know? It says they also receive greater grace to endure present truth persecution. You know, they're not going to cower and run. They can take the persecution. And I think the more God gives them, the more revelation he gives them, the more that fires them up to keep going, you know? And D, the new anointing brings forth exciting praise and worship. New church choruses are written with different melodies and words conveying the truth being restored. And the book gave an example of Robert Gay prophetic ministries. And I wasn't familiar with that particular prophetic ministry. So I looked it up. And remember, I don't even know. I'm thinking it might have been around maybe 1990 or 91. He wrote things or authored things such as No Other Name, Mighty Man of War, and Lion of Judah. And the song, y'all remember that song? No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of something and of praise. I can't remember it, but that was a song that he wrote. And that was the song that was resounding in the 90s. No other name but the name of Jesus. It was exalting the name of Jesus. And E says, there is great joy, that's the fill in there, and enthusiasm in those participating and propagating the present truth being restored. So there is great joy and enthusiasm. I watched an episode again with Robin Bullock, and he was playing his guitar, and this was probably about a month or so ago, And all of a sudden, he took his hand off the guitar, but the guitar kept playing. So the other people, they were looking, they stepped back from their instruments. The guitar kept playing. It was prophesying. And then he began to sing. God is on the move. Hallelujah. Amen.